pastor of what he describes as an informal Anglican church in Watford. He became a Christian round about the age of 14, 15, and I put his testimony on the church, I think it's on the church Facebook page, a day or two ago, and it's worth listening to. The actual testimony takes about, how he got converted, takes about a quarter of an hour, but what he says takes half an hour. Mike became a Christian around the age of 14, 15, and he first went to a Baptist church. And it proved to be a total disaster, and he more or less got thrown out after his open youth group wrecked the premises. And he felt very downhearted. But he heard that the Holy Spirit was doing some remarkable things at a place called St. Andrew's in Chorley Wood in outer London. And he came into a dynamic experience of the Holy Spirit before many of you were born in the late 1980s. If you weren't alive then, I'm sorry, you missed some great stuff. And I hope that you will also get some wonderful things happening in your lifetime as God continues to do new things in his church. But in the mid-1980s, a man called John Wimber brought a team from the United States to Britain to demonstrate how the Holy Spirit was wanting to impact people in all the ways we read about in the book of Acts. Things that we do today and just take as normal were not done 35, 40 years ago. It was just, for example, praying for people in services, which we regard as absolutely normal and standard. And that's because our church here was very much affected by that move of the Spirit of God. Before then, if anybody wanted prayer, the only person who'd have been probably doing the praying for them would have been a pastor or vicar, maybe at the front. He'd have had to wear a suit, dark one. Prayer never worked unless you wore a dark suit and a tie, or a dog collar if you're in the Anglican church. And lots of things changed after that. And the conferences that John Wimber led had a profound effect on many people and churches at that time, including our own. But at least three key city churches were impacted. Holy Trinity Brompton in central London, which is the home of the Alpha Course and all the other courses that have come out of there. St. Andrew's Chorley Wood in outer London, and at that time, young Mike Pilavarci was the youth leader. And out of that church came summer festivals called New Wine Camps and Soul Survivor and a whole network of churches that relate to each other. And the third church that was impacted in the south of Britain in a big way was the Church of Christ the King in Brighton, to which the New Frontiers churches related, places like King's down in Hastings. Now, the Lord did an absolutely amazing work at St. Andrew's Chorley Wood within the Anglican denomination. As I said, they started this Bible week called New Wine, and Soul Survivor really grew out of that. And Soul Survivor's developed since then, and probably almost 30,000 young people each year go to a Soul Survivor event. Soul Survivor makes great use of the internet to keep in touch with people. I think the internet was invented in the early 1990s. I'm looking at Mark, hoping he might know. I remember that we had it here in the church in 1994 or 5, and it seemed absolutely amazing what you could do. And it hardly worked in those days. I mean, what you can do now is much more amazing. But it was a ministry that really latched into all the new things that came along with the internet to keep in touch with people. And Mike's testimony and loads of clips and sermons from Soul Survivor are easily found on YouTube. If you become a Facebook friend of Mike, you'll join almost 45,000 other people. Over 46,000 people follow his tweets. Last year, I used the app put out by Soul Survivor to read through the Bible in a year. Has anybody else in the church done that or doing it? Oh, it's a good, well done, Kevin. It's quite good. I think it's a fantastic way to read the Bible. If I'm honest, I have to say I think it's a very ambitious way for young teenagers to do it. I mean, I found it a bit of a sweat, and I would not describe myself as a young teenager. But each day does come with videos to explain what you've read. And overall, it's an amazing piece of work that they did. It's probably 3 or 4 years old now. But it's worth look doing. If you want to read the Bible and you want to do it on your phone, reading the Bible with a year, with the Soul Survivor apps, good. Now, I'm really reluctant to talk any more about Mike Pilavachi. I'll tell you why. It's because he hasn't yet run the race and finished the course. So anything we say now is just work in progress. And another reason why I'm really reluctant to say anything more about Mike Pilavachi is that he will often say, it isn't about me, it's about Jesus. Having whipped up a crowd of several thousand young people, and I have to say that in my earlier life, I was a trained teacher, and the way he handles young people is totally wrong. It's totally not politically correct to go into a meeting and say things like, now if you're a foreigner here, stand up. But every year he'll have a roll call of foreigners. And it's extraordinary what he gets away with. And the first time I went to a Soul Survivor, I thought, this isn't going to work. And yet, amazingly, it does. Because as we're thinking about how God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And I think it's absolutely extraordinary the way he handles young people. And having whipped up a crowd of several thousand and done all sorts of stupid things like appearing in fancy dress, dressed as Batman or Buzz Lightyear or somebody else, he will then change the mood in an instant by saying, and now let's worship Jesus. And you'll see those young people change completely. And in his preaching, he always points people to Jesus. He appeals for people to commit their lives to Jesus. He tries to get people to live according to what the Bible says. That's a challenge that always comes out at Soul Survivor. He's passionate about turning new followers of Jesus into disciples who live for Jesus. It's not just about people from secondary school or uni going in the summer to get a fix for 4 or 5 days and then somehow stagger through the rest of the year. He's very keen in discipleship, trying to get people to live for Christ in the contemporary world. So I guess the first thing I want to say is that I believe he's a person who uplifts and honours the Lord Jesus. That is very central to the meetings that he's responsible for. We must root everything we say in Scripture. If you have a Bible, please turn to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 20. There were some Greeks in town who'd come up to Jerusalem to worship at the feast, and they approached Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee. Sir, we want to see Jesus. Can you help us? And Philip went and told Andrew, and Andrew and Philip together told Jesus, and Jesus answered, time's up, the time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Well, I can't deal with that now, can I? I have a feeling it was the hospital, but I'm afraid they'll have to wait. Time's up. The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. And then in verse 24, listen carefully. Unless a grain of wheat is buried in the ground, dead to the world, it is never any more than a grain of wheat. But if it is buried, it sprouts and reproduces itself many times over. In the same way, anybody who holds on to life, just as it is, destroys that life. But if you let it go, reckless in your love, you'll have it forever, real and eternal. If any of you wants to serve me, then follow me. Then you'll be where I am, ready to serve at a moment's notice. The Father will honor and reward anybody who serves me. Right now, I'm storm-tossed. And what am I going to say? Father, get me out of this? No, this is why I came in the first place. I'll say, Father, put your glory on display. And a voice came out of the sky. I have glorified it, and I'll glorify it again. And the listening crowd said, thunder. And others said, an angel spoke to him. And Jesus said, the voice didn't come for me, but for you. At this moment, the world is in crisis. Now Satan, the ruler of this world, will be thrown out. And I, as I am lifted up from the earth, will attract everyone to me and gather them around me. He put it this way to show how he was going to be put to death. And I think the focus of Soul Survivor, the ministry Mike Pilavachi exercises there, is to honour Jesus and to call young people, and all people really, into a relationship with him. And that's another thing, another one of his sayings. He says it's not about a religion, it's about a relationship. And I think so many people never really crack that. You know, I see a lot of people in the course of a week who are religious people. And that they may want things from the church. You know, they might want Holy Communion. And there's nothing wrong in that. But what we're called into is actually a relationship with one another. You know, we're going to have communion later. But it's not just about receiving bread and wine or arguing about what the bread and wine might represent. It's about doing it as part of God's people together, as part of what Jesus has called us to do. So that uplifting of Jesus means worshipping him and spending time in his presence. And worship at those events is unhurried. Nobody seems to mind if the opening worship takes an hour. People want to praise God and soak up his presence. And I think his team model that well. There is no sense of the worship being the warm-up act for the speaker. And worship at Soul Survivor has been a place where well-known names like Matt Redman and Tim Hughes have started. Now, he's now an increasingly older minister, and he's nearly always had two or three key people under his wing, mentoring them, shaping them, giving them an opportunity, and then helping them. And I think that leads on to the second thing I want to say, the second principle I want to draw out, having watched him at events now for about 10 years, that working as part of a team is also a key part of how Mike operates. Now, I think lots of churches have it completely wrong in places where things revolve around the minister or the priest. My understanding is that of Scripture is that God anoints a key person for leadership, but that person then tries to impact a key inner circle of other people. Let's look at what Jesus did in Mark chapter 3. If you look at what Jesus did in Mark chapter 3, it says, and he went up on the mountain and he called to him those he himself wanted, and they came to him. We're not told how many came at that point, but we are told then he appointed 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them out to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons. Jesus called people to be with him and then to go out in the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I think many people, if you go to ministers' meetings, it's something that people talk about and pay lip service to. Many people will pay lip service to team ministry without living it out, actually, by spending time with each other, enjoying being together. Being together, I think, has to come before working together. And if we look at what Jesus did, he had those guys around him for 3 years. He was with them for 3 years, being together. And then they went out and impacted the world. What did he do? Well, they spent time eating. Most people like eating, walking, partying, taking time off together, generally living in each other's pockets for 3 years. And the team of Jesus then impacted the world. Mike and Andy and Beth Croft, who work with him, and Ali Martin, along with other people, form that key team for the summer camps. Again, something I've noticed from the platform, when I've been watching from the congregation, is that they model from the platform that they actually share life together. And you get the impression from the bits of banter they have with each other that they actually enjoy one another's company. And they often talk about church as being family. And if you read, if you listen to Mike's testimony, you'll understand why for him it was important that he found family in the church, because he more or less got kicked out of his own family when he became a Christian. He wasn't allowed to talk about it at home. And as a single man, he doesn't have any kids or grandchildren. He's never mentioned any brothers or sisters, as far as I'm aware. And so he gets a lot of family relationships out of the church. And they often talk about church being family. But for that to be true in any church, people need to be committed to spending time together. In many ways, the carnival last week was an utter washout and a disaster. And we know from the local paper that Bonfire Boys lost money over it. And that was sad, really, about the awful weather. But what was really great about last week's carnival was the people who came together on Friday night, they're doing it on the Saturday, clearing up the mess afterwards, which seemed to take forever in the manor house, and things like that. And then there have been other opportunities, I know this week, that people from the church have got together, a group of about 20 went out for a curry in the week. There was a pool party on Friday night. So we get to have the opportunity to spend time together. I think that is a hugely key thing. Some of us recently had the opportunity to spend 10 days with each other's company in Ramallah and in Israel. Now, we cannot all be involved in everything in the church, but what we do all need to do, if we're serious about being Christians, is to take time to spend time with each other. It should never be about coming along here, picking up a service, and then getting out the door as quick as we can every week. You know, we need to invest in relationships with one another. I think that's really, really important. It has to be more than a quick handshake at the door, a cup of tea or coffee in the manor house and go, and then I don't see any of those people for another week. I don't think that's how Jesus wants us to live. He wants us to model what church should look like, because there are loads of people out there who are in situations of brokenness, in situations of bereavement, hopelessness, who need to come into a circle of love and be welcomed and be noticed and be valued and be appreciated and be listened to. And church may be one of the only places where that is done. I think for me, when we were abroad, one of the interesting things that came out of that awful fire in Grenfell Tower was just watching it on the BBC overseas service in Israel. And I was struck by the fact that local churches seem to immediately become shelters and centres that people turn to. And they interviewed one guy. It was the BBC, so I had expected it to be heavily edited from any Christian content at all. But this guy, very cleverly, when they said, "And what do you do with these people?" he said a variety of the things that they did. And then he said, "And of course we pray with them." And then they said, "What does your church normally do in the area?" And he said several of the sort of humanitarian, good work sort of things that any normal church would do. And he also said, and it wasn't edited out, "And we tried to share Christ with these people." And I was very impressed by that and thought, you know, that's what it's about. And I've just watched that team. I don't think I've ever spoken to any of the key players in the Mike Pilavachi team. I've only watched from afar, but I've watched for about 10 summers and listened to sermons and things. And I think I've been to the church once on a Saturday or Sunday. And yeah, I think they seem to be quite a warm place. Third thing I want to draw out from his ministry is an absolute emphasis on the power of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus sent out his team, it was not just to preach, but to have power to heal sicknesses, to cast out demons. In other words, the supernatural needs to be seen as a natural part of Christian ministry. The supernatural needs to be seen as natural. And I think Mike Pilavachi's ministry continues in his own church and through the events he leads to have an emphasis on what the Bible calls the gifts of the Holy Spirit. I've noticed that in particular, he seems to use what we call a word of knowledge. I suspect at times he's very lacking on a word of wisdom. Two different gifts. But word of knowledge is something that Mike Pilavachi really seems to operate in. What does that mean? It means knowing some fact which you could never know unless God directly told you. It means having a piece of information about something that you can only know because God told you. Some of you know my own testimony of 2012. I went to Soul Survivor against everybody's advice and suggestions because I'd only just come out of hospital having had an operation for cancer, and went into the meeting. And in the course of one of the meetings, I think it was the Saturday evening, he said, "There is somebody here who's had bad news exactly 3 months ago." And I sat there and thought, well, of course, this doesn't apply to me because I had the bad news when I went to the doctor 3 months and 2 weeks ago. So it doesn't apply to me. Not a soul moved in the congregation. And he said it again. He said, "There's somebody here who had bad news exactly 3 months ago. And, you know, if you'd like to come out, I'll pray for you, or you'll be prayed for." And by then, people around me were sort of doing all that sort of thing. And I worked it out because, of course, you don't get a diagnosis of cancer from your general practitioner. They may think that that's what's wrong with you, but you get it when you go to the hospital, which I did, I think, 14 days after I'd first seen my doctor. NHS met its target, you see. 14 days after I saw the doctor, and that's where I had the diagnosis. And as I sat there, I thought, yes, it is 3 months. As it was the Saturday, I'd had that diagnosis exactly 3 months before on the Friday, and I went up for prayer. And I was the only one to go forward for that. And two or three people prayed for me. And all the post-operative symptoms disappeared immediately. And I slept through the night for the first time in months. I would have liked to have said I've been healed. But I've never said that because the cancer came back again about a year later. And I went off to Soul Survivor hopeful that there'd be another word of knowledge. And there wasn't that year. And I just had to heal up normally like everybody else, and it takes weeks. But I thought that, to me, that was amazing to know that God was absolutely on my case, and therefore I can trust him with how it works out in the future. And a word of knowledge is something the person giving it could never know without the revelation of God. And its purpose is often to demonstrate the power of God or to bring the touch of God upon a particular situation. The last thing I want to say before we just watch a very brief video is I think over the years Mike's ministry has always had what I would call a social justice edge to it. He's always emphasized practical caring for disadvantaged groups of people. He's always wanted young people to be practical in outworking the teaching of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. So I just want to read a few verses from Matthew 5. "When Jesus saw the crowds of people there, he went up on a hill and sat down, and his followers came and sat next to him. Then Jesus began teaching the people, and he said, "Great blessings belong to those who know they're spiritually in need. God's kingdom belongs to them. Great blessings belong to those who are sad now. God will comfort them. Great blessings belong to those who are humble. They will be given the land God promised. Great blessings belong to those who want to do right. More than anything else, God will fully satisfy them. Great blessings belong to those who show mercy to others. Mercy will be given to them. Great blessings belong to those whose thoughts are pure. They will be with God. Great blessings belong to those who work to bring peace. God will call them his sons and daughters. Great blessings belong to those who suffer persecution for doing what is right. God's kingdom belongs to them." And through the ministry that we've been part of for a number of summers, there have not only been offerings to help orphans in places like South Africa or people being trafficked across borders, there have been lots of practical projects in different parts of the United Kingdom involving young people working in areas of deprivation. I want us to close this bit of the service by just watching a video which lasts 7 minutes and 32 seconds. And I think you will get a little flavour of this guy. And I hope that when you hear the word soul survivor mentioned in the church, if you're not of the age that goes to these things, hope you'll pray for soul survivor. And I hope you'll pray for Mike Pilavachi too, that God will let him continue this extraordinary ministry he's got with young people. I said that he wasn't, he did youth work. I don't think he was ever trained for it. By profession, he is an accountant. Thank you.